here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, first and foremost, wherever you are in the world, I just want to acknowledge you and pray that you and your family are doing well as we navigate these very different and, for a lot of people, difficult times. At the same point, just as some people are barely surviving right now, there are a lot of people who are thriving. And my guest today is going to help you. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. He is an expert in stress. In fact, he's appeared on and being quoted in Bloomberg Business Weekly, NPR, PBS, and ABC News. He's served on several boards. He's an acclaimed author, speaker, just a beautiful soul. Mm-hmm. And before I bring him out, just a couple of quick announcements. So if you are a small business owner, you have a side hustle, I would love to work with you. We have our amazing event, The Ultimate Marketing Experience, coming up September 24th to 27th in gorgeous Phoenix, Arizona. And this event is unlike other marketing events in that we have a premise where it's learn, do, review. So we have experts in YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook marketing and sales and mindset. And so they teach, then you apply it to your business, then you come back and review. The wonderful thing about it is after these 3.5 days, you take your business to a level and you're further ahead. So you're not actually taking a break from your business, you're taking a vacation with your business. So if you want to find out more, just go over to agency8.com. That's the digital agency that I own. And we specialize at Agency 8 in working with side hustlers and helping them grow their automation. So with that, I want to bring out our incredible guest. I've been so excited about this interview because so many people are under stress as we're recording today. We have almost 40 million Americans who are out of work. New housing starts are down 18%. There are some states that have extended the stay at home. I heard also that if tourists are going to Oahu, there are people literally standing at the airport saying, go back. I think we're living in times that we haven't navigated before. So I want to welcome the gentleman who feels that we can go from good to gooder, Mr. Matt Resch. Matt, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I can't tell you what an honor it is to get to be here, to hopefully get to share with your audience just a little bit about what I feel like we've been gifted with. And that is that we all do have, and we were born to live that life of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. And let's be honest, right now, it feels like the world is doing everything that it can to keep us from having that love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. And this is just, we've got to be able to help each other. And as I say, I know everyone out there is good, but we can get a whole lot gooder too. So let's figure out how we can do that and then help each other get there.
Mm. Yeah, it's so interesting. Like there are some people who have resigned themselves to mediocrity. And then there are people who are using this time to innovate. So Jocko Willink, a lot of people know, former military, total in your face, now speaker. Yeah. So he started during this time, you couldn't get a workout equipment. So he created these, I guess they're leather satchels, and you can fill them with, sand, you can fill them with gravel, so you can do kettlebell workouts. And, his brother's selling out of this stuff, right? And then there are people who've been laid off and are saying, yeah, I'm going to start a business. Then there's the other spectrum of people going, I don't know what to do. Let's start with the person who's listening right now and really just says, I want to put Netflix on, I want a bottle of wine, I want a duvet, and wake me up when this is all over. What would you say to that person who's saying, I'm under so much stress, Matt, I don't even know how I'm going to save my house? What advice would you give to them?
Well, and let's start off by differentiating something. When we started out on this project to create what has became the book called Stress Free You, when we started that, I really want us to differentiate there's two different kinds of stresses that we need to talk about from the beginning. And that are stress events, which are things that happen in life, because life is stressful, right? I mean, there are things that are going to happen in life that are just stressful. We get that. That's part of living. We're going to have to deal with that. But then there are also daily stresses, which are the things that we actually probably have 90% control over, if not 100% control over, and be able to turn some of those off so that then we can handle the bigger things. So I want to start with that. But then to that person who's sitting at home and they have become completely paralyzed by stress, I'm going to say that there's two modes we can operate in. We were born and designed to operate in rest, digest, and restore mode, or fight, flight, or freeze mode. I mean, fight, flight, or freeze mode, that's when the saber-tooth tiger was chasing us and we had three options: to run, to win, or to be still and hopefully hide. And we were only really supposed to be in that mode a couple of times in our entire existence. And the most of the time we were supposed to be doing what we love to do, doing what we need to do, living in our purpose, and really kind of being in that rest, digest, and restore mode the majority of our lives. But because of society and because of where we're at right now, we have totally flipped that around to the point we have so many daily stresses that are piling on us that then when a significant life stress happens, we just stop and we just shut down and we either freeze in place and do nothing, binge watch Netflix, or we get angry and we get aggravated, or we just don't even know what to do and we just feel hopeless. So to that person, I'm going to say, I'm not going to be here to tell you that, hey, yes, once I too was broke, busted, and disgusted, and you can overcome too. I mean, I just feel like that puts so much pressure on people, and I don't want to even do that. I want to tell the person that's sitting on the couch that I'm not going to be asking you to do more. I'm going to ask you to be doing less with more results, because we don't need more piled on our shoulders right now, because then that just shuts us down. So let's start doing less so we can start turning off what we call the stress switches that we have engaged. And we have become almost desensitized to that this is normal, and it's not normal. We're not supposed to be in this. We're supposed to be able to have the tenacity and the energy and the courage to overcome. So that person, I'm going to tell you, hey, let's do less so that we can accomplish more. And there's just a few steps that I want you to take. And number one, start thinking about what do you have going on in your life that you actually have control over? What could you actually physically say, I don't need to do that anymore because it's bringing me down? And we have in the book, we talk about these things, we're calling them stress switches, which are these triggers that we have turned on. For example, how many of you that are in that mode, how many of you are currently watching the news? Because, oh, good grief, that's one of the most depressing things you could ever do in your life. So one of our switches to tell people to turn off is stop watching the news. I mean, get away from it. There's nothing positive that's coming out of that. So that's something you can control instantly. So do that. And start trying to figure out those little nuances that, hey, we can cut that out. We can stop that. And then we are more apt to be able to get to the point that then we can move forward and handle the bigger picture things, that like what we're going through right now. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And what I'm hearing too, and I love this wisdom, is that ultimately whatever we choose to allow into our lives is going to affect our stress. And so choosing to turn on the news, there's a difference between information and inundation, right? 100%. So I a little story. So I like to trade stocks. And years ago, one of many jobs I've had, I think I want to do an episode called All the Jobs I've Had Before. Yeah. And maybe right. Kenny Rogers will sing. To all the jobs, or no, who sang that song? To all the jobs.
Julio Iglesias.
Julio,
and
right?
And Willie Nelson. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Willie and Julio. That was a great song. So years ago I worked in a stock brokerage. I think it was back in the late 80s, right? And so I did my stockbroker certification. I like to trade stocks. And I was watching CNBC like every day. And it was the financial news. But every day I was like, oh, the market's down. I don't need someone to tell me the market's down. I can, you know, I can see that in the trade. So what I started doing, Matt, years ago, I was a professional triathlete until I got multiple sclerosis, right? So I started watching on YouTube all of the Ironman triathlon videos, and it was, it's been awesome. So I don't watch the news. I don't, you know, I turned off my news alerts on my phone. I can't, because I could feel myself getting affected. So I love that you said that. And I'm seeing, I'd love your opinion on this. There are some people right now who are addicted to COVID. They literally, my phone, they'll text me, oh, did you know, did this. Like, I don't need to have news on because I have friends who have taken over in that department.
100%.
How can someone break that addiction, do you think?
You know, I say, and it almost goes into the whole conversation that we have about one of the switches we talk about, our toxic friends. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because the people that we surround ourselves with, absolutely 100%, every day, every time, will have a huge impact on our physical and mental being. And misery loves company. So you know those people that have that great desire to bring you down to the spot that they're at. So we start saying, you know, you got to start distancing yourself from those people that put you in a place that you know you don't need to be. Okay, and I know you do coaching. You talk about it on your podcast as well. One of the individuals that I got to coach, she made this comment. She said, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. She said, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'm going to stop you right there, because I can assure you that you do know what to do. You're choosing not to do that, and you're complicating it. And she's like, oh man, that one hurt. And I'm like, well, it was told to me one time, so I'm going to pass it on to you. So yeah, you got to start distancing yourself from the pieces of negativity that you can actually handle. And I don't know about you, but like when you go to the airport, they have the news on everywhere. And I've been so detoxed from it now that it's almost like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. You know, you walk past the monitors and you're like, ah. So to the person that is that wants to bring you down to where they're at, you're going to have to start. Honestly, you're going to have to either address it. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to start surrounding yourself with a whole lot more positivity that can overcome that person if you can't move them out of your circle. And I don't want this to sound pie in the sky either, because our whole intent when we felt like God gave us this gift of addressing stress with people, and talk about crazy timing, how crazy the timing, it comes back from the editor right as this all starts to break. And I'm like, this was no accident. But when we're talking about that, sometimes people are like, well, yeah, but you know, you get you don't know what stress I'm going through. You don't know what you're right. I don't. I don't know it at all. But I can also guarantee you that I absolutely am sure that there are a lot of things you've got going on in your life that you could take control over. This is not pie in the sky. This is really simple. An 8-year-old could do this, or a 108-year-old could do this. But we've become conditioned to the fact that, hey, no, this is bigger than you. You can't handle this. And no, we can. And we can overcome. And we can do the little things that end up making such a huge difference in our world.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes it really takes a combination of strength and courage. Because if we were that person before COVID, that person who, you know, wake up and start the scroll, which is something I've taught for years. Don't sleep with your phone beside your bed if you want to get a good night's sleep. And, you know, that if we were that person, stress can just amplify what's already there. You know, one of my favorite quotes, Will Smith said, money doesn't change who you are. It only amplifies what is already there. And I would also say stress doesn't change who you are. It only amplifies what is already there. So if you drank a little bit before COVID, you might be drinking a lot. If you skipped workouts before COVID, you're probably skipping them a lot. If you were negative and gossipy before COVID, you're probably doing that, you know. And 100%. So it's this courage to change. Now, Matt and I like football analogies. And so who knows if what's going to happen with the NFL, but I told Matt during the show, I was just going to throw him some passes and I was going to be Brady and he was going to be Gronk and he was going to receive them. So I wanted to ask you, Matt, some of the questions that have actually come in, whether it's through the chat on Season Sly or just things that are going on for people I know and what advice you would give, because I know some of these people are listeners. So the first one is one of the listeners, raving fan, love this individual, will not say that person's name, that they are in a state that they just extended the stay at home until the end of the summer. She is a consultant and the work she does is really face to face. It's not that she can't do it virtually, but she's licensed under the state to do it in a very specific way. Okay. So she's now facing, what do I do? Do I get another stream of income? What would you say to that person? Because there are a lot of people out there going through this exact same thing.
And I would say that one's really personal because it's happened to us. Yeah. So prior to this event happening, my career as a speaker and a trainer, literally so blessed, so on fire, had more speaking opportunities lined up than I could even physically handle myself. And it was exciting, and it had started last year, and it was building into this year, and we just, it's kind of one of those moments you're finally like in your career, you're like, yeah, we finally, this is it, yep. Like, right? We're hitting full stride. And in August of last year, my wife was hit by a drunk driver while we were on the phone together, and it caused a lot of problems. She's okay, and we got through that. And then in December, January, I end up in the hospital with a bacterial infection, and we get through that, and we handle that. And then I'm like, it's still okay. We're still going to kick this out of the park because we've got so much work lined up. And then this happens. And you see a huge six-figure income just immediately over the course of a few days go down to a zero, and it hasn't changed. Mm. And so to that person, I would say, I understand, because this happened even as late as yesterday. One of the upcoming contracts we had just got canceled because now it's going to be pushed out of a budget year. So now budgets are different now, and I get it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell you the piece of advice I'm going to give you. I actually heard from this great podcast from my friend Susan Sly, which is exactly what you've got a choice to do. And are you going to slink down and become nothing, or are you going to pivot? And you talked about it on a podcast. I don't know which one it was, one of the more recent ones, where you talked about how you really do have that choice. Mm-hmm. Of what are you going to do? Are you going to let this beat you? Or are you going to figure out a way that you can pivot and then become something else? Throughout all of this stuff that's happened in the last 9 months, I told my sweet bride, I said, it's going to be okay. I can feel it's going to be okay. Even as the COVID thing continues to drag on and get worse and really impact us. Oh, and for the record, she's an event planner. So you have a public speaker married to an event planner during this time of the year. It's been epic for us, right? Yeah. And I'm like, it's going to be all right. I know in my heart of hearts, as we get through this, we're going to come out on the other side, and it's going to be even better than it was before. So how do you look at things differently? How do you take that negative, perceived negative that's going on right now, and then recreate it into something that may hopefully help you see something in a different picture that you could actually do that's going to help you in the long run?
Yeah.
What we did, we finished this book. We were able to get this book out because of all that's happened. We're taking all of our content into an online platform and going to be able to deliver it into bigger audiences around the globe than I ever could have even imagined it going to, and be able to serve people on a such a larger scale than just going out doing a live event. So it's just, what are you choosing to do? Have you allowed stress to paralyze you, or have you allowed it to cause you to see the new opportunities, mm-hmm. and to create the opportunity that everyone who's watching and listening knows that there are opportunities even in the midst of some of the greatest crisis. Study the greatest people in all history look what has happened in crisis moments. Leaders aren't found in moments of comfort and convenience. They are found in moments of trial and controversy. I mean, that's based off of a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, and we know that that's true. So how are you going to look at it? Are you going to handle the stress, or you're going to let the stress handle you? That's really your only two options, only two questions that we've got to address here. And I hope that as you start handling the things that you can actually handle, then it allows us to control the stress and then create the trajectory and that we need. So yeah, I would tell them that you've got to be able to create the positive out of the negative. Okay. And I don't want people to think that this isn't all that I do this perfectly all the time. I'm completely real and transparent. There are days when you're like, are you kidding me? Like, this is really happening again. Like, oh man, just when we think it's going to start going again. And so life is going to happen, but you can get through those moments quicker to get back into that rest, digest, and restore mode. So then you can move forward again.
That makes sense. Beautiful. I love that. Are you going to handle the stress, or is the stress going to handle you? So I think, you know, one of the products that you want to have on your website is that needs to be a coffee mug, or it needs to be like a black or a t-shirt. You know, write your name in here, Susan. Are you good? Yeah. And that's so beautiful, Matt. And
thanks.
And there's so, you know, you and I have a lot of mutual friends, and and I'm a speaker too. So, you know, last year's speaker revenues, nothing, but it's in the face of challenge, we can give up or get better. And one of the things, even before this all happened with my friends who were speakers, I'm like, guys, you need a CRM. You need a communication platform. Just posting and praying is not going to be enough. And I had a friend who's a speaker and an author message me, and he's like, I wish I had listened to you. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity to grow, because this isn't going to be the last time. You know, as crazy as this may sound, if we get a huge surge, we could all be back at home. I mean, guys, we go through cycles of crisis as a nation, as a world. We had SARS, we had a recession, we had the list, 9/11, the list goes on and on. So I think it's more stressful to be naive about it and think it's never going to happen again, as opposed to saying, what is the opportunity right now? What can I do to grow and become better, and maybe even bring some fun and play into this time? Like you took your whole speaking career, and in the last, my understanding is the last 8 weeks, virtual platform, book, like you're saying, okay, God, this is an opportunity for me to grow, for me to learn, for me to take my message and deliver it in a different way. And I think that's powerful. You ready for the next pass?
Let me have it.
All right. So this morning, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he is an executive for a massive, massive company. And so he's got three kids, school age kids at home, and his beautiful wife who has her own business. And, you know, even myself, I've got now four of my five kids are living at home. They're all on Zoom. For Chris and I, like the date nights, everything, it's just, and we work from home. So we're working the kids. What advice would you give to married couples specifically with kids at home, and they're working, and now there are no boundaries, right? It's just, and there's a lot of stress happening. We know that physical abuse is on the rise, verbal abuse is on the rise, as people are in these pressure cookers. So what advice would you give to people?
Absolute legitimate too. Katie and I don't have children, and we still feel it because of that. And so with kids in the house and with everything changing, this has been one of our greatest demands for online content, is how do we kind of call it emotional intelligence. How do we handle ourselves so that we can handle what's going on? The advice that I would give, and it's one that I had to give myself first, is what's your go-to? Okay. So every one of us, when we come into a stressful situation, we have a go-to that is our thing we run to. Most people's is not a healthy one. Let's be honest here. From the time you were a little kid and you're in junior high school and you come in and you had a bad day and your mama said, I'll fix you your favorite meal. It typically wasn't a bowl of broccoli, right? I mean, it was...
No.
our go-tos, by and large, we've kind of been from the beginning, they're not usually the healthiest things. We don't call them comfort food for anything, you know? So whatever it is, and I don't know what that's specific to somebody, but whenever you're in a stressful situation, you instantly want to start going to that thing that gives you the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Okay, when we start talking about instant gratification, that is a hedonistic desire to take care of who first?
Yeah.
To take care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. All right, so when we start, and this is personal, so Katie and I start this new normal here, which I hate even saying that because I'm like, we create our normal. And we run, so when we started adjusting to what we're dealing with here, me working in the house all the time, me being home, not on the road all the time, when we start having those stressful moments, it's like, okay, what's the go-to thing that we need to do for ourselves that's actually going to benefit all of us involved? Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, who could I serve? Because in serving, I know I'm going to fill my own bucket as well. My sister and brother-in-law live close to us. They're both teachers. They're home now. They have two boys in the teenage years. They're home now. So here's my brother-in-law is a coach. My sister's a librarian. These people are used to going nonstop. I know the kids are driving them crazy. So what can Katie and I do? Okay, we can invite the kids over. We can say, okay, come with us for the day. We can be that person, and it also fills us in the process as well. So I think that's what I would caution you is, what's your go-to? Is it a positive one? And is it something that's going to put something back into your bucket while you're serving somebody else? I just did a coaching with an individual, which I'm like you, I don't like to do too many personal coaching things because they are so time intensive, but now I have a lot more time, right? So I'm like, okay, let's take on some coaching clients for the stress stuff. And one of my clients, he's just at his wit's end, and you could just tell he's just there. And he said, we call it, there's three modes. The first being in control mode, the last being collapse mode. And he said, I'm in collapse mode. I can't go on. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, so what are you doing to take care of yourself? And he starts telling me what all he does on a daily basis. I'm like, okay, you got to put something in that's positive, pure. You got to put in the pure, the positive, and the uplifting so that then you can be able to give it out. And we don't give enough credit to that anymore either. So I said, how are you starting your day? He talked about how he started his day and he hit the ground, and I'm like, okay, you and your wife have got to do something for yourselves first thing in the morning before the kids get up. May it require 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes getting up earlier? Yeah, maybe. Okay. But do something to connect so that then you can connect to other people. Yeah. Because I say right now we're at a point in time in history where we are more connected than we've ever been in the history of mankind, and yet we're more disconnected than we've ever been in the history of mankind. And now we're all thrown back together in these isolated little bubbles, and it's like, oh my goodness, now stress enters the picture, and it feels like the proverbial wheels on the bus are coming off. So what's your go-to? Are you handling stress? Are you letting stress handle you? What can you do to fill your cup so that then you can give to other people and then be able to move forward? And Mr. Ziegler, and we were talking about how Tom Ziegler is one of our mutual friends, and I love the man dearly. I love the whole family dearly. Mr. Ziegler, Zig Ziegler had one of my absolute favorite Zig quotes was, he said, most relationships would be more successful if everyone understood they were on the same team. Mm. Yeah. Okay, so do teammates still have fights? Teammates still have arguments, disagreements? Do teammates still have stress? Yeah, but where are we at the end of the day, and are we understanding that we're still on the same team?
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that, Matt. And thanks for your transparency. You know, one of the things I admire about you, and just, you know, preparing for this interview, is you just tell it like it is, but you're so transparent, whether it's about Katie or, you know, whatever is going on. And I think that we're living in a time now too, where people are craving that, like, just tell it like it is, just be real about it. I was in a meeting, and in my tech world, I'm often the only woman in the room, and mm-hmm. women have said to me, write a book called The Only Woman in the Room. And I don't know if I will. I have my next three books lined up, what they are and what they're called and so on. But I said, there was some heated discussion. I said, gentlemen, I'm going to say this, that a team is a family and a family is a team. Mm. And this is what I tell my kids all the time. And I said, we're either growing together or we're growing apart. And so growing pains are called growing pains because we might argue, we might, not see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, do we have each other's backs? Do we want the same thing? Do we want the same outcome? For people who are at home and it's ugly and, you know, messy at times. And, you know, some people I know are working longer days right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the marriage, you know, they're not getting the dates. They're not, you know, it was interesting. One of a friend of mine who's a pastor said, it's fascinating because we're now seeing actually marriages healing because before everyone was so distracted with the busy and suddenly this couple, and we're seeing these empty nesters even who are like there. And it's like, look at this other person going, oh yeah, that's you. And so I didn't even realize that there was this beautiful outcome that was also happening with people that, you know, the marriages were healing or parents were becoming better. And, you know, and I think there's that plus side too. Let me ask you this. So if someone is really stressing, there are people, I'm sure you know them too, who stress about the future a lot. And it's, you know, Dave Ramsey says this, their spirit animal is Eeyore. That's my favorite line.
Yeah. Shuts I've been told to mine's Tigger, Ramsey. Which I'm okay with.
Yeah. I'm like, and I'm Kanga, right? Like I bounce like around and I'm the mom, right? But yeah, your spirit animal doesn't need to be Eeyore. I still laugh at that. So what do you say to the person who's super stressed? You know, what if things don't get better? What if it doesn't open up? What if the economy falls? What, you know, like, what do you say to that person?
So do you know, have you ever met Bob Bodine?
Mm-mm, no.
He's got to be one of your next guests.
Okay.
Bob Bodine is a friend of Tom Ziegler. He is known, I think it was Sports Illustrated, said he's the most powerful man in sports that no one knows. They have a placement company. Like, that's what they do. They put players on teams, coaches with teams. But yet he's one of the most genuine, amazing guys ever. And I'm going to quote him right now because what he said resonated so much with me that it's what I want to say to those people that are being the Eeyore about the future. Bob says every morning, he wrote a book called Two Chairs, and every morning you should start off sitting across from an empty chair and you should just have a conversation with God. Mm. And you should ask yourself three questions. Does God know it? Does God know what my problem is? Is there anything that he can't handle? And does he have a good future for me? Okay, when you start worrying about the future, if you ask yourself, does God already know this? Does he have is anything too big for him to handle? And does he have a positive future for me? You know, it really kind of changes your perspective. And that's what I do. And that's my recommendation for people is that's what made a huge impact in my life. And I want to address something that you said too, though. You said you appreciated my transparency. And I'll be the first to say that one of the questions we get asked a lot is what made us an expert in writing this book? And I said, well, there's two types of experts. There's the people who studied to become an expert. And then there are people who lived it enough to try to help other people not do what they did, right? Mm-hmm. And education-wise, I tell everybody, yeah, I was valedictorian in my high school class, but, you know, there were only six of us, so it's not a big deal, right? So I don't have – I just want to help people get through these moments because once you learn how to deal with them like we did from a lot of – dealing with them in a lot of bad ways, quite honestly – and getting to this point, it's so much better on this side and it's so much more freeing. And when you look at the future with the bright lights that I know it has, and that I know somebody probably just said, yeah, well, it's probably a train. Okay. I want to slap that person. Say, stop it. Just stop it.
Eeyore. Just say Eeyore. Eeyore. That's it.
No. So I'm like, the future is going to be what we make it. Are we going to go through troubling times? Yeah, we've been going through them since time began. So this is nothing that's new. And more importantly, this is nothing that's exclusive just to you. This is everyone's story right now.
Yeah.
We have a common denominator right now like we've never had around the globe because we're all dealing with this. A friend of mine lives in Nigeria. He's actually, I met him through the Ziegler family. Beautiful soul. I love him. I've never met his wife, but she seems so lovely. And I sent him a message because he's a speaker and trainer in Africa. And he told me how bad it was there. And they're getting no help, no assistance, still continue to lock down. And I said, I asked him, I said, well, what? Oh, I don't know if I should even say this because I may get emotional. Dadgummit. I sent him a message and I said, how much? Because he said his landlord is about to kick him out of their house. Said some people are just mean, even though none of us are working. And he said, our landlord's about to kick us out. So he goes, things are just really bad here. And I sent him a message, and I'm not saying this to brag either, doggone it. I said, how much is your rent? And he gave me this number, and I didn't understand what the number was. So obviously, Dr. Google, yes. See what the exchange rate is. The exchange rate put his monthly rent at less than $100. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that put things in perspective for me. I mean, like $100 is there, and we wouldn't even think much about that here at all. And I'm like, Western Union, here I come, right? So when you start complaining about the future and when you start seeing the future as a negative and as a gloom and doom place, you're right. It's going to be if that's the way you want to see it. At the same time, I know that with just a little, just looking a little bit outside of that tunnel vision that you've got your blinders on, that, yeah, there's somebody else that has it way worse than we do. I get that. We can see that all the time. I also understand if you don't deal with your problems will eat you up. So we got to deal with our own stress so we can help other people. But you need, let's start seeing what we can do for other people, because it is amazing to me how it makes you feel when you do something for somebody else and how much amazing positivity that throws into the future. And it just makes everything seem so much more like it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We way overcomplicate this, Susan. We take this thing and I think we so internalize it, and stress causes us to just pour it all right back onto ourselves. And we start looking, I say, you know, your windshield's a whole lot bigger than your rearview mirror. And as long as you're looking forward and seeing what a big picture this is, then it's going to be a glorious place if we can get there together.
That's beautiful. And that whole, we're all going to have wall kicking moments. Right. And I love that you said, you know what, I'm going to step back for a moment and I'm going to see the world through the lens of someone who's across the world and really put things into perspective. And I will also say that Oscar the Grouch shouldn't be someone's spirit animal either. You know, mm-hmm. Oscar watching Sesame Street growing up, and Oscar just pops out of the garbage can and says something negative and then goes back in the garbage can. I'm like, I know people like that, but they're not in my inner circle. No. Final question I have for you.
Okay.
What do you do that to manage your stress that we might be surprised? You know, you said everyone has something they go to. And what is something you go to that we might be surprised and is, you know, a positive for you to help you deal with stress?
Okay. And I've got several, and I'm going to differentiate something. One of the things that we talk about in the book is that stress relief is not enough.
No.
If your yoga's great, meditation's great, working out's great, whatever, that's all great. But unless you deal with the big stresses first, it's like trying to drain the battery on a cell phone while it's still plugged in. Stress relief is great, but we want stress freedom. For me, I had to step back, and this all happened obviously prior to us even starting this book. I had to step back and say, okay, what can I handle? What can I deal with? What can I do? And I started getting some of those things off my plate so that then stress relief actually works. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my big one is, I have a couple. Number one, if I start feeling a little too stressed out, I try to do something for someone else. That's always kind of been my thing, and I really like it. I'm really hesitant to even say, like, just telling you that story, I felt like that's bragging a little bit. So I like to do things in secret for other people.
It didn't come off that way. Okay. I know, like, you and I are both believers in the scripture says, you know, don't brag about your works. And it didn't come off that way, my friend. Not at all.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, the other thing too is, okay, technology is a powerful little tool, right? And we all around the globe, we all have this little thing attached to us 24/7, 7 days a week. What's amazing to me is how much, if I'm feeling stressed, I can also just pick this thing up, send a random text to the first person that comes to my head saying, hey, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. And you, God put you on my heart right now, and I just wanted to send you a message to tell you hello and that I love you. And wow, what amazing response. So I try to send a text to someone. I try to do something for somebody else. And then I'm an outdoor person. I grew up on a farm and a ranch. That's what my dad and I still have a little place. I don't play golf, so I go to the farm. I do something physical to get that out, and so that I can come back and I can read something that's going to fill me up. I can meditate. I can listen to an inspirational podcast, and then it actually allows me to be able to come in on our podcast that we have every week and be able to say, okay, this is what we dealt with this week, and this is how we handle it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So those are just a few things. Do something for somebody else. Do something to get the juices flowing. And then last but not least, I have my number three go-to out of those first two is just to be quiet. We do not give enough credit to just stopping, even if it's for a few minutes, and mm-hmm. just being still. Know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God, right? And just allow that moment to happen to where you can, like, okay, now we can move forward. So those are mine.
I love it. Those are beautiful. I love what you said. Stress relief is not enough. I think that the whole concept of, you know, when I wrote the book Organize Your Life, I talked about the monkey on your back. And mm-hmm. Most people have a monkey on their back of some description. Maybe it could be as small as got to update my will, too. It could be bigger that I'm in a very toxic work environment and I have to change. Or it could be even bigger than that. Until we deal with that, everything just gives us a little bit of relief, which is also, it's very healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Years ago, a friend of mine said to me, Susan, you need to just go scream into a pillow.
Oh.
And I went, what? And he said, no, you need to go scream into a pillow, because the stuff that you haven't dealt with is you're not dealing with it. And it will allow you to release that block that's in front of all of that. So needless to say, I wait until Chris and the kids are out of the house. I go scream into a pillow, and I screamed and I screamed and I cried and I cried. And then it once I got rid of that, it gave me the perspective to go and do the work to deal with the trauma. And because I hadn't been dealing with it, mm-hmm. I thought I had, but I hadn't. And, you know, sometimes there's a funny thing that happens. So last year we had, you know, we host our very first UME event, and I had hired a contractor to do a particular thing. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but needless to say, he didn't deliver on the contract, and we're trying to find him and trying to find him and trying to find him. So every morning I get up, Matt and I, you know, I pray, I'm silent, I commune with God, I don't look at my phone, and I do all those great things. So I'm in my car, I had gone to yoga, and I just said, I don't have a pillow right now, but I'm just going to scream. I'm just going to, in the car, and I was like, ah! Guess what happened? After 3 months of trying to track this person down, right after I screamed, he messaged me, I am so sorry, blah, 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 blah. And it's amazing how when we're holding on so tight that, you know, we hear let go and let God, mm-hmm. we're not allowing God to work in our life, to show us the pivots, to show mm-hmm. us the path, to show,
right.
allow the people to show up. And whether, you know, the thing I would say to anyone is whether you scream into a pillow or scream in your car or, you know, I've done speaking events where, you know, with Tony Robbins, where he, you know, he talks about changing his life to sprinting down the beach until he fell over. Like you said, doing something physical if you want to change your psychology, change your physiology.
That's
you know,
right.
So
you know what? There's a part we put that I put in the book about that Rich and I came up with. And I even posted on my own Facebook fan page on mattrush.com on Facebook. And I said, a day before yesterday, and I said, emotion will override fact every time. Mm-hmm. So if you are in an emotional state, you've got to do something to allow yourself a break so that then you can have an actual real response. Because if emotion overrides fact, then we react versus respond. And reactions come from emotions. Response comes from true thought process. That's huge. So make sure as you're going through this, yeah, and I get people, some people are even going to be out there saying, well, a little stress is good though. And I'm like, yeah, what's better, a big black widow spider in your bed or a little black widow spider in your bed? Like, none of it's good, right? So get away from that emotional response and be able to react versus, I mean, be able to respond versus reacting so that you can, yeah, you got to be able to deal with the stress so that then you can have those conversations. And sometimes you got to get those emotions out so that then you can have the real stuff later.
Well, I'm so grateful you are here today, and I'd love to have you back. And everyone needs your book. They do. And where should they get it?
You know, the easiest way to get it is to go to is on Amazon. That's the easiest, fastest way to get it is on Amazon. Look up Stress For You, Matt Rush or Rich Taylor, and it's there. That's the quickest way. You can go to Stress For You as well. We've got a free stress test on there. Once somebody gets the book off Amazon, reads it, we have a certificate they can print off that allows them the freedom to say, I am now stress free. And it's just kind of fun, and it's quirky, but it's real. And then the podcast every week, Stress For You, wherever you get your podcast. And I mean this with all my heart when I say this. It's info@stressforyou.net or Matt Rush on Facebook, whatever. Shoot us a message. If there's any way we can help somebody become stress-free, please let us know, because I believe in my heart that all of us were born to live a life of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. And I'll help anyone get there because it is a glorious, beautiful place.
Well, I'm going on Amazon right now to order the book for all my staff. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, imagine a team where people were focused on the main thing, right? Service, because they didn't have all of their stress and their nonsense, like, in the way of what God created them to do, right? So no, I'm headed over there now to Amazon.
I was going to send you one for free because I want to autograph it and send it to you, and Rich and I both want to sign it and get it to you, because we know what your mission is and we know what's in your heart, and we appreciate that. And it matches up with what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. The one thing I don't think we've helped enough people get over is dealing with stress first. So then we can put in those hardcore concepts that actually lead to true life change and true improvement in who we are and how we operate as a family and as teams and as churches and as businesses. And yeah, and it's going to be a gooder deal afterwards.
You know it, brother. Well, thank you so much, Matt Rush. You're amazing. And to ask, if you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to share it. We'd love a 5-star review. And go get Matt's book on Amazon and give him a 5-star review, because that's how we can be of service. And if you are a business owner, this is a great book, as I said, you know, to really help your team right now, especially as they're navigating things. So with that, thanks, Matt, for being here. And this has been another episode of the Susan's Live Project. God bless. Go rock your day, and we will see you next time.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.